All right. I'd like to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be here with you all again this morning. Blessing. Here are the boys. It's always a blessing to see thankfulness, gratefulness. You know, it's when you're around someone and all they do is complain and bellyache, it's just discouraging. But when you're around someone that's thankful, and you know, whenever we're working for someone and they just come around complaining all the time, or you didn't do this, you didn't do that, it's just kind of hard to really want to do your best for them. They don't realize that the attitude that they, you know, if they come around and they're thankful, everybody just wants to jump in and do more for them. And that's just the way it is. But it's a blessing to hear the boys give thoughts on something that they can thank the Lord for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us. We ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to be what you need us to be, want us to be. Father, give us wisdom as we open your word. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I think we'll open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. It says, Jesus, after he giving his Beatitudes, maybe we'll just start in verse 3, just read these, it's just a blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'll just talk about those just a little bit before I go on, but the Bible talks in Isaiah about that a time of a bad time or a wicked time, whenever people would call evil good and good evil. They used the term calling black white or white black, just opposite of what it really is. We live in a time like that good is portrayed as something bad and evil is exalted and portrayed as something good. And this is the opposite of that. A lot of times we think of something bad happening to us, but it sets the stage for good in us. It's, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, to truly find comfort, you can't truly find comfort unless you've mourned, because you don't really know the extent of the depth of hurt and depth of pain. But when you get to that state of mourning and you can turn to the Lord and just go through it and be thankful for it, you're comforted. I mean, there's just all kinds of things like that. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, we think of people that inherit the earth or are the kings, and they're taking things by force and strength and really pushing and stepping on people. But Jesus said, blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Just blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus is spelling out the things that we don't like to go through. You know, there's a lot of things we don't like to suffer. We don't like to have bad times. We don't like adversity. But it's that adversity that gives us the strength to be something better than what we are. And those things, Jesus knew we needed those things. It's the opposite of what the world calls good and evil. An evil good. Here is things that we go through that might seem bad, but they always produce a good thing in us. And none of us like to suffer. None of us like to have bad things, but we need them. We need adversity in our lives to build the strength and the courage to make us better people, to make us what we really need to be. Verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's someone called me this morning and was talking about someone that was all up on the conspiracy theories, and they were thinking about how to escape something bad that was coming upon the earth, or something bad, maybe leaving here and going somewhere where they can find some safety. And you know, we just try everything we can sometimes to try to escape what's right in front of us. And not that we just look for trouble or look for things or don't avoid some things that come along if we can, but to devote our lives to just spend them in peace and safety. There's no rest in that. There's no peace in that. God is offering us a rest that whatever we go through, it can be for our good, and it can build us up and lift us up. We look at the state of the world today and we see things that are going on, and it's a blessing to be, just live around this area. But the reason things are better is because someone has been a light. You know, there is, you go into places, you go into cities, and there's just darkness everywhere. Nobody's friendly. Everybody's scared to death to wave at anybody. They're suspicious and they don't trust anyone else. And it's very ugly. But whenever, you know, like I said, we're privileged where we don't have to worry about a lot of those things. And the reason is because somebody has been a light and shown into the world that there's a better way than just being scared to death of your neighbor all the time. Be a friend to them. And that's what I just want to try to encourage us to, like Floyd was talking about in his devotion, you know, one man can set the whole day on a work crew. One person can set the whole day. You know, I read a book and the girl is back in the 1800s, and the girl had lived with a family, and the mother was grouchy all the time, didn't want to be where she is at, and everything was just miserable. And she, thank you. And she, it was just really hard for her to be there. And then she went home to be with her family. She had to go stay with some others. And then when she came home, one of the first things her mother said, good morning to her. And she just thought to herself, that makes it so. Just speaking that good morning makes it so. It makes it a good morning. Just that one little thing there in the morning, good morning. And it just makes it so. And we don't think a lot of about those little things like that, but little things like that just set the course of the whole day. I mean, sometimes we'll be doing something and the person will come along and they'll be mad and grumbling and everything bad, and or just really start chewing you out because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And right off the bat, your day is just messed up, it seems like. And so that just sets the tone for the whole day. And it's amazing how just one little thing, one little phrase, just sets the tone for the whole day. And it's the attitude that we have of being freed from those, our being freed from our emotions that affect us so often, that one way or the other, and just to be on a level keel, to be set free from those things. And that's why we have the opportunity. That's what Jesus came to do, is to set us free, to be above our emotions, be above all of those things, to rise above them. Floyd talked about changes. You know, none of us like to have our plans changed. We've got everything all set up and how it's supposed to be, and then someone comes along and tells us to do something different. It just can crash our world sometimes if we let it. But to rise above that is to be a light to this world. I've said many times before, the only thing that you can control, it's not your schedule, it's not the things that come on, it's not the weather. You can control your attitude. You can control how you react or how you let those things affect you and rise above them. Being a light to the world. You know, instead of running away from problems or situations or places where bad things are, be the light where you are. Be the light to the world around you. That's what Jesus is talking about here whenever he says to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We affect other people. We're no man is an island. No man's just off by himself and nothing he does affects anyone else. Everything you do can affect someone else. You might not be, you know, someone way out in front. You just doing, brighten the little corner where you are, as the poem or the song goes. Brighten the corner where you are. And if everyone will just brighten the corner where they're at, well, someone else will, corner will be a little brighter. That's why this is how it spreads, and this is how the kingdom of God grows, is by just being a light. You don't have to just blind everyone with a light that you have. Just be a light. You're the light of the world. We can be free from our situations instead of letting them rule us. Free of the circumstances. Free of our moods. We can be the light. We are, Jesus called us to be into his kingdom. Okay. Jesus has called us to be in his kingdom. You know, a lot of times we think we're so easily swayed into... Got a new microphone system here, and it's not wanting to stay working all the time. Okay. Anyway, he's called us to be in his kingdom. And a lot of times when we think of Christianity, it's, well, I got to do this or we got to do that. We live in this situation or we do this religious thing. We dress this way. We talk this way. We act this way. Being a Christian is whenever our whole being has been changed and the whole being is surrendered into being what God wants us to be. To be, whenever we talk about Jesus, the Bible says the Word became flesh. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It became flesh. And our duty is to become a child of God, a son of God. Not just by the religious things we do, but actually our being of who we are. You know, that's why a lot of times you see people in a lot of churches, they go get all dressed up on Sunday morning. Completely different from what they would do the rest of the week. Or people just do tithes. And they, well, I give 10%. And I've done my duty. Those things are just superficial things. Some people just keep a one day a week. And they give that day to the Lord. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He came to transform us into being something different. To being a reflection of the Father. To being a reflection of Jesus and who he was. To actually being that. You know, a lot of times we do our religious duty. We put our day a week in. We put our time in. We put our 10% in. We dress different when we go to church. It's all just a show. Jesus is wanting us to be who we are, to be real, to actually be what he wants us to be. That's what it means to be born again, is to be converted into his image. So that we don't just turn a flashlight on, put on a little show so we can act happy, but we can actually be set free from all of those things that affect us so deeply. Sometimes we have to battle with it. But it's who we are that God's interested in, not just the performance we're putting on. That's in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, but just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them fail to enter because of disobedience. He again fixes a certain day today, saying, though through David, after so long a time, just as had been said before, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If Joshua had been given rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fail through following the same example of disobedience. Here we see a clear example of the difference between doing something and having entered that rest. You know, a lot of times people look at these things and they focus on a day that we should be doing different, a day that we should be set aside. But the focus is not on the day. The focus is entering that rest and being that person, being that person who's entered that rest, to where they're not trying to perform or do their own thing, but to actually be the person God wanted them to be. And that's the goal that we have, is not just putting on a show or setting aside this day or setting aside that day, giving our money here or giving money out there. You know, I've told people, they talk about the tithe and they give their money, they give their 10%, and they say, well, I've given to the Lord. Well, the thing about it is God didn't want 10%. He wants everything. And when we just set aside one day, he doesn't want one day. He wants us all the time. He doesn't want just part of your money. It's all his. He doesn't want just part of our devotion. It's all his. He doesn't want us when everything's just good and going well and we can all be happy. He wants us all the time. And when we can get to that place of rest, then we can be his, and we can get through those times whenever things are harder and when things are bad. And we can be strengthened instead of destroyed when something crushes us. We can be built up whenever everything is torn down. We can rejoice when we're mourning, because we've entered that rest, that place where he has control of our lives. We forget that, but we need to be reminded, remember that that's how we're the light of the world. Sometimes we need to get slapped around a little bit, and because the world's watching us to see how we'll react. Sometimes we have to be defeated, not so we can be crushed, but so that, because the world is watching. How are they going to respond to that? Sometimes whenever things go wrong and we've had sad news, sometimes it seems like we're just completely just want to give up. That's when everyone is watching. You know, we think that everyone's eyes is on the winner, and they're just, everybody's trying to follow that winner. But it's when the winner is up against the wall, the winner has been defeated, that's when you see the true character of the winner. Now, we can all have good days and all shine on those days, but it's the days when things are worst that we really shine. It's when things that are darkest that we can really shine. Anyway, the heart of that is God wants us to be, not just put on a show. We can all obey laws, we can all obey rules, but he wants us to be. I think of the time when the Jews were coming after Jesus, and they asked who he was, and he said, "I am." You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about it. They asked who God was, and he was the I am. Because he is the I am, we can be. We are beings. He is the I am. We are beings. Human beings. And that is being what he wants us to be. We talk about people that they live like animals. And the reason is because they've forgotten that they should be being what God wants us to be.
For the assignment, we were supposed to tell about a time or happening in a life that shows the goodness of God. And for me, a few winters ago, the roads were slick and Dad's truck slid in the ditch, and Kevin and Marcus came out at like 8 or 9 o'clock and helped us get out of the ditch. And that just shows that when there's friends who are trying to do the teachings of Jesus, it just works out better for everybody, and as opposed to living selfishly and just fighting with your family, it just destroys your life.
Yesterday, when we were at the farmer's market, we were selling strawberries, but right next to us, like 5-10 feet away from us, was another strawberry vendor. And he was his berries were a little bit bigger than ours. He was like some sort of Old Order Mennonite guy, but there was a customer who came by and looked at both of our strawberries and decided that the Mennonite guys were better. He came over and said, you have the better strawberries. But then the Mennonite, he was really nice. He said, "Actually, I just want to be honest with you. I think theirs probably tastes better." And so the guy left his stand and walked over to ours. And then he looked at our strawberries, and then he decided the other guys were still bigger, though. So he went and got his strawberries. But I was just thinking, yeah, it was really nice how the other vendor, he might have thought that the customer could have easily just decided to get our berries after what he said, but he decided to be kind to his neighbors and do the right thing.
I think just the beauty in it and God's creation shows his goodness. And like the other night, we're out in the field, just an amazing sunset. Last week, I wasn't feeling the best, and I had to spend a lot of the day in the house. And I got to thinking how extremely blessed I am to have health, to work and be outside in the beautiful world. And so, just a real blessing.
I'm thankful for my family and my house.
I was just thinking what a blessing it is to wake up every morning and be able to go to work. Most people have to work in a factory or work in the city, live in the city, and they don't have the privilege of being outside in all the open air and the beauty of God's creation.
Last week when I was at work, I was loading up a big excavator onto a trailer, and I got to stop midway and go check and make sure the trailer was on correctly. And I was walking back there, and the excavator slipped and the trailer was not connected correctly, and I just missed my face by a couple of inches. And afterwards, I kind of got thinking that it was a really close call, and I was just thinking that goodness of God allowed me to live for another day to make good choices and good decisions.
Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here on this nice morning after all the rain. It's nice to have a little break from the rain. Just wanted to share a little bit this morning, and I didn't really have a Bible passage to go along with what I'm going to share. I'm sure there are plenty of them, but I don't have one to start off with. But I just wanted to talk this morning a little bit about our attitudes and having a positive attitude. I know I'm one of the first that when plans change or when the day doesn't go as planned or we have to work later, I'm one of the first that, you know, it hits me, and I tend to get, you know, just tend to complain pretty quick. But that's not who I want to be. It's not what I've purposed to be. Several months back, I just kind of decided, you know, that what if one of the purposes of my life is just to be a positive person and to uplift others, you know? What if that's all that the Lord wants me to be? It's just edify other people, you know? But then along come things that bring us down, and it's easy to forget. I've forgotten many days, you know, and I catch myself in the middle of complaining, you know, and then think, you know, why am I doing that? You know, I don't need to be doing that. Don't need to be complaining. I can find my notes here. Here, just this last week, one morning, in the morning I prayed, I said, God, let me just be a positive influence today and help me just to, you know, keep my attitude good. And interestingly enough, that was the hardest day of the week. You know, it got there and I was just, the day that I just, you know, it was just hard to be motivated, and it was raining and just seemed like, you know, it was just hard. Everybody was just kind of feeling this unmotivational feeling. We didn't want to get the job done, but you know, we got it done. We got it done in a decent time, and it turned out well. And you know, we can spend our lives just letting our circumstances run our lives. You know, we can let those days get us down, and then the next day is a sunny, happy day, and everybody's feeling good, and that was a fun day. But then we have another bad day, and we can just go with the flow, or we can just purpose in our hearts to be happy, whether it's good or bad, you know. And it doesn't mean that we just have to be jumping up and down and smiling and telling jokes all day, or trying to get everybody roused up and on this high. But it's just I think it's more just a steady. We just don't let our circumstances take us up and down, and those that work with me, they know that I tend to let that happen, you know. But that's not who I want to be, and I know we can affect others. You know, this goes along with being an example. Our attitudes are contagious, for good or for bad. So, just encourage everyone and myself to just try to edify and lift everybody up around us. Remember, in school one day, we had a teacher, and he came to school. He was our math teacher, I think, and he came to school and he was sick one day. And he told the students, he said, you know, anybody can be a Christian when they're feeling good. You know, he said, but now I'm sick, you know, am I going to be able to be a Christian when I'm not feeling good? You know, so it's easy to just, everything goes well and we're happy to help and happy to share when times are good. But it's in the low times when we're tested and when other people can see who we really are. David has already told us that we can lower a standard or lift a standard of everybody around us. You know, a whole town, I think, can be affected by just several people. You know, just the people around us, they see us being happy and see us just, you know, being cheerful. It can just lift everybody's mood. So let's just try to be helpful and in that way spiritually for others. With the children of Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, they went through difficult times. They even got hungry and got thirsty, and they started complaining, and the Lord just hated that, even though there was actually maybe a reason to complain. But they would just start complaining and say, why did you bring us out here? Back in Egypt, we had everything we needed to eat. We had onions and leeks and all the meat. And they would have rather been back in Egypt. Their hearts were still there, but God was giving them something better. But all I could do is complain about the journey that took them, that was going to take them to the promised land. And it got so bad that finally the Lord said, well, you're not even going to see it. Anyone 20 years or older isn't going to get to see the promised land. They didn't deserve it. They had decided that they were going to just grumble and complain about it, and they weren't among the chosen people. And the same with when they went to spy out the land, Joshua and Caleb said, you know, this is really good land. We can take it. We can do this. And everybody else just said, no way. This is way too hard. We got giants. I don't think we can do this. And they got to grumbling and complaining. And next thing you know, nobody wanted to go out to battle. And, you know, we can change our days and change other people's days just by how we act. So may the Lord just give us strength not to forget, that we're here to serve Him and to serve others, not just be carried about by our daily circumstance. Lord bless you all. Lord.